Thank you for pulling up a seat around the campfire with our monthly podcast from the Mayflower Council of the Boy Scouts of America. I'm Rob DeFazio from the Membership and Unit Service Team. I'm your host. And this month, we have some great content, including Eagle Scout Project Do's and Don'ts. You'll meet our new Scout Executive, and we're going to talk about the fun coming up this summer at our camps. That's all up next right here around the campfire.
The Mayflower Council's annual recognition dinner will be held at Franklin Country Club on Wednesday, April 24th. At this annual event, we will be honoring several Silver Buffalo recipients, as well as veteran awards for volunteers with 25 or more years of service, and our James E. West Fellow Award recipient. Register today by visiting mayflowerbsa.org, select the calendar link, and search for April 24th.
Welcome back to Around the Campfire, our podcast from the Mayflower Council. And I am very thrilled to be joined by our new Scout Executive, Juan Osorio. Welcome to the Mayflower Council, first of all, but more importantly, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you for both. I'm excited to be here in the Mayflower Council, and I'm honored to be a guest in the podcast.
Well, I think it's important. And, you know, we talked about this in one of our meetings that we had as a team. And one of the things that I really think is going to be a good thing for our volunteers is getting to know you a little. Can you share with us a little bit about your scouting background and your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. So I did serve 6 years in Columbus, Georgia for the Chattahoochee Council. But prior to that, I was here in New England. So I grew up in Columbia, South America. And my mother brought us here when I was a young boy. And I grew up in Central Falls, Rhode Island, graduating from Central Falls High School. You know, I started my scouting career first grade. And my neighbor was a Cub Scout, and he invited me to join. It was a bring a buddy event, and he invited me to join. And I never left the program. I fell in love. When I was 16, I went hiking with some fellow scouts and our scout executive to Mount Mercy. And at that trip, I realized that I wanted to work for the Boy Scouts. I wanted to give to this organization and devote myself to this organization because of everything it's given me. And I've been fortunate enough to have been able to get a job with the Narragansett Council in Providence, Rhode Island, serving as an outreach specialist for the Scout Reach program, serving as a Cub Master and Scout Master for inner city packs and troops. And from there, I was provided the opportunity to be a district director, and then the development of director, and then the director of field service for the Narragansett Council. I did a total of 14 years there, and I had the opportunity to go to Columbus, Georgia, to be the scout executive, which was very interesting. I had a lot of fun in Columbus, Georgia, but I would be lying if I'd say I'm not excited to be back in New England.
We're definitely thrilled to have you. And to know that you have some roots back here is definitely refreshing, because I'm sure being down in Georgia, you probably missed the snowstorms for an inch an hour and everything. At the same time, I'm sure there are things that are familiar. We'll talk about that in a minute. So you're obviously an experienced scout executive, and I'm sure we've talked a little bit off air about some differences between the council you are at and the council you're coming into. What do you look forward to as part of the first 90 days as our scout executive?
You know, when somebody starts in a new council or in a new office or in or outside of the Boy Scouts, you're drinking from a fire hose. You're trying to catch up to speed, get your legs under you to understand the full operations of the organization, especially as a scout executive or as executive director. I'm going to spend most of my first 90 days trying to meet with the staff, with our board, executive committee, some of our volunteers, doing my best to go out into the community, see some of our packs and troops in action, see some of our council events, just really have an opportunity to understand what the Mayflower Council is all about. You know, the Mayflower Council has a great reputation. They're known for a quality program in our area. And I'm excited to see that program in action. I'm excited to understand the great things that we do as an organization to serve our kids. So you might see me around. I might be in incognito and just a regular scout uniform. I might not be walking around, you know, people introducing me as a scout executive. I might look just like another parent, but I want to be there and be able to see kind of what we're doing and how we're doing it.
That's a good approach to take. What do you see as some of those important priorities for the council in the coming months as you get settled in?
Well, the first one is making sure that we continue to work as a team. And too often in the Boy Scouts, when we think of teams, we think of pockets of teams, you know, the staff, the volunteers, the board, each of them in their own different teams and their own different buckets. But to me, we need a cohesive team across the board. our volunteers, staff, board members, parents, all working together to benefit our scouts, because that's why we're doing this. You know, we're not doing this for ourselves as adults. We're doing this to better our youth and to help them through the program. You know, the reality is I stayed in scouting not because of character and leadership and discipline and all the great things we talk about. I stayed in scouting because it was fun. And I want to make sure that scouting is fun. And that's why we do it. And so to me, ensuring that we continue to move that needle forward, it will allow us to serve more families. It will allow us to ensure the success of our operations. It will allow us to ensure that we're here for the next 114 years.
You grew up here. You did your beginning of your scouting career here, and then you moved down south for 5 years. And over those 5 years, I'm sure that some things have changed here in southern New England. What are some of those things that you enjoyed growing up in the region that may have changed a little bit?
Well, I'll tell you that the weather has not changed.
No, no, not at all.
And I love New England. I don't like the New England winters. It's one of those things that I got unaccustomed to very fast in the South. But I will tell you things that I'm looking forward to being here in New England that I've enjoyed. First of all, the diversity in culture, the diversity in people, the diversity in food. I'm a big foodie, and I like to go out and have lunch meetings and have coffee meetings, and I enjoy that here. There's a bigger diversity in food here. But I would tell you, things that have changed up north, there's more traffic. As we were chatting a little earlier today, it took me 3 times the amount of time to get to work today than it has the other days. Besides that, I don't think much has changed. I got here Sunday, and I know this area like the back of my hand. A lot of things are very similar. There's some improvements. There's some architectural improvements throughout the area. But when I look at New England, it's the same. It continues to grow. It continues to become a little bit more dense. The scouting program, you know, we continue to evolve. Our scouting program has changed a lot since I left New England, with some decisions from the National Boy Scouts, with some local decisions, because scouting is local. And it's changed, but I think it's changed for the good. When I left Rhode Island, we didn't allow girls in scouting. Now we do. As a father of a college student, I am so excited that we have girls in our program. I'm so excited that they have the same opportunity to join and become an Eagle Scout or just enjoy our program. So a lot of positive change has happened in scouting. We've gone through some turbulent times with COVID and some other things over the last couple of years. But I think we're now in a point in our organization where it's up to us to define what our future is going to look like. And I think we need strong leaders across the board, everyone from a Tiger parent all the way through to our board president, including myself and our staff, all of our volunteers that devote their time and treasure, their blood, sweat, and tears are how I like to say it. We need leaders across the board to define our future for the next 50 to 100 years.
Well said. So I'm going to put you on the spot. You brought up that you're a foodie, and we all know that Rhode Island's got some really unique food items. What's the one thing when you got the job and said you're moving back up to New England, from a foodie standpoint, what was the one thing you were looking forward to?
Well, I'm gonna tell you two things. So I continue to come up to Rhode Island often. My wife's family lives in Rhode Island. I grew up there. And every time we came up, and the number one thing we were excited to eat once we got here was Lion's Pizza.
Okay.
Lion's Pizza is a very small boutique pizzeria in Mineral Spring in Pawtucket.
Mm-hmm.
That to me has some of the best pizza in the world. And the second thing, of course, being Colombian, there's a bakery in Pawtucket as well called Caprichos. And they have a Colombian arepa de choclo, which is almost like a corn pie with cheese on top. And that's one of my favorite. Colombians eat arepa almost every morning. It's a breakfast meal for us. And I couldn't get Colombian food down south. There's many Colombian restaurants in Rhode Island. And so I'm just excited to be able to enjoy that cuisine again.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you around the Mayflower Council. More importantly, we're looking forward to the difference that you're going to bring as our new scout executive. And once again, I think I speak for all of our leaders and all of our scouts when we say welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Rob.
So being joined right now by David Lasarica from the Membership and Unit Service Team. And David, we have some Cub Scout program updates that you just talked about in a unit success workshop. Can you give us a couple of highlights?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really excited about the updates in the new program. the National Cub Scout Committee has been working on it for about 5 years, and they came up with a program that's going to be fun, simple, and easy. The objective is to ensure that Cub Scouting is fun for everyone, not just the Cub Scouts, for the parents and the leaders as well. They made it simple to understand, to explain, and to execute, which makes everyone's job much easier, and easier to support, and easier to meet the objectives of the program.
And for more information, you can actually access David's workshop at mayflowerbsa.org/membership. Scroll down to the Unit Success Workshop tab, and you'll be able to find that information. So here we are around the campfire, and I'm being joined today by Tom Bedars and Logan Ferraro. Logan is our programming specialist, and Tom, you are our advancement chair for the Mayflower Council, and we're going to talk a little bit about some Eagle Scout do's and don'ts today. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So, Tom, obviously one of the major requirements to achieving the Eagle Scout rank is their service project. Do you have any do's and don'ts that you can recommend to our leaders and our Eagle coaches that you can share?
Sure. Yeah. So I think the first one is to take advantage of any resources that are available to you. And you mentioned an Eagle coach. If you don't have an Eagle coach or mentor, I think the first thing would be is to find one. Any registered scouter can serve as an Eagle mentor. If your unit doesn't have one, my advice would be to ask your troop or crews or post advancement chair or your scoutmaster if they had any recommendations, or if not, that they should then reach out to the district advancement team for advice on getting a mentor and getting training. The next piece of advice to do would be to download and review the latest version of the Eagle Project Workbook. You can find a link to it on the Mayflower website, but there's also available on the National Council's website. The workbook looks pretty big, but it's actually pretty digestible. There are three sections, but focus on the first one, which is all about getting you started and getting your thoughts in order for your project. And I think the last thing I'd put out there is we hold several Life to Eagle sessions throughout the year. We have the next one April 17th and then again on May 15th. So there's still plenty of time to dial in, and you'll get plenty of advice and can interact one-on-one with many of the district volunteers that will need to sign off on your project. As far as the don'ts go, don't get too far down into the weeds when you're planning. This first phase, it's all about your vision and focusing on the what of the project, what it is you want to accomplish. If you start getting into how and how much plywood and how many nails exactly, that's too much detail. When a district advancement team reviews the project, they're going to want to make sure they understand your scope and whether you can do it safely. And then I think my final piece of advice is don't fall in love with a project too early. I've worked with many scouts who have spent months trying to get their first project idea to work. And sure, you may have invested a lot of time into this specific project, but at some point, you're not going to get anywhere. It might be a better option to consider pivoting and changing to something different.
And Logan, you've also got some don'ts when it comes to some of the fundraising. Can you share some of those thoughts?
So we know that nowadays, one of the big fundraising tools a lot of our families and scouts are using are sites like GoFundMe. And as a council, we suggest, yes, you can totally use GoFundMe to help fund your project. But if you are going to use GoFundMe, it should be created and set up under the tax ID information of the beneficiary to your project. If you're going in and you're setting up a GoFundMe, you don't want to put it under your scout's name or under your parent's name. And the biggest reason for that is the tax implications that you're going to run into down the line. So if you do $3,000 worth of fundraising on GoFundMe and it's under mom's tax ID information because she made the GoFundMe account, come tax season, which we all know is coming up pretty shortly now, you are then going to get a bill for the taxes on that $3,000. So to make your life easier and to not have to deal with the implications or the ramifications of that, the suggestion in the way that GoFundMe's work in the scouting world is it must be set up under the beneficiary. So make sure if you are a leader and you're looking at how your scouts are planning to set up their GoFundMes or set up the fundraising for their projects, that you're double checking that it is under the beneficiary's ID. And as a parent, if your scout comes to you and says, hey, I want to set up a GoFundMe for my Eagle Scout project, you can say, yeah, sure, let's do that. But we need to rope in the beneficiary to make sure we're doing this correctly.
What are some of the most common reasons that Eagle Scout projects are not acceptable?
Well, I think let's go back and look at what the criteria is for approval for an Eagle project. There are five tests that the district committees look at when they review a project. And again, they're pretty straightforward. You know, the first one is there a sufficient opportunity to show leadership? That's what requirement five for the Eagle Scout rank is about showing leadership. Is it big enough? Is it giving the scout an opportunity to show leadership? I apply the clipboard test. If it's big enough that the scout is going to be spending most of their time holding a clipboard and coordinating and organizing it, it's probably big enough, right? If it's just their sibling and their dad and another adult, probably not big enough to show leadership. The second one is it feasible? You know, there's some great projects I've seen proposals, but it's boiling the ocean. It's just way too large for a 16, 17, 18-year-old scout to pull off. Third one is any safety issues will be addressed. So most of the time there's power tools involved. So it's, you know, hand tools for 16 and older. Power tools will be handled by an adult, you know, things like that. Are you going to bring a first aid kit with you and calamine lotion if you're out in the middle of a trail doing brush clearing, right? Things like that. I think the final two, and I think these are I think the most important in my mind is any steps for planning are identified. So again, not great detail, but hey, after I get approval, here are the big buckets that I'm going to start working through. And then finally, is the Eagle candidate on the right track and has a good opportunity for a positive experience? So that's really the goal here is like, are they going to learn something and are they going to accomplish what they want to set out? More often than not, a lot of it's around safety concerns. Like a scout wants to build bog bridges, but they've got a time constraint and it's the middle of January. That's not going to be safe, right? Or there's this 100-hour myth of like, oh, it's not going to be 100 hours of person time. And that is a myth. There is no fixed number of hours in terms of breadth or how long a project needs to run.
So the last question is, and I know we have our annual Eagle Recognition Dinner coming up on June 10th. Are there any Eagle projects that stand out in your experience that you can share with us?
Every project is a good project. I think all scouts work to their own ability and what they can accomplish. But there was one that I ran into a couple of years back. And this one was one where the scout did more of this hybrid project. They had an interest in history. They had an interest in technology, but also wanted to do something that was very physical. So this scout had worked with a local AMVETS post in, you know, in the town that he lived in. There were a number of these small squares that would commemorate veterans from World War II, Korea, other wars. And they would just anonymous names on each of these squares. And the scout, it worked with the AMVETS who had bios and information about all of these veterans and families who, again, had this information and wanted to get it out there. So he worked with a number of different avenues. He worked with a local historical society to find a place to host this information, worked with a bunch of scouts to do the data entry, but also then worked with the DPW of the town to put up these placards on each of these memorials that had QR codes that linked them to their bios. So I think this one was interesting because it had the physical element, but also spoke to their interest and their passions.
Oh, wow. Logan, anything in your experience that stands out?
I heard a lot of stories of some pretty interesting Eagle projects when I was working at the scout store, but one that really stands out in my mind was a young man who came in and he was talking about how during COVID, he repainted all of the rooms on the first floor of the elementary school. So he probably got 30 scouts and leaders all together, and they went in and the school was old. The paint was peeling off. You could see the 6 or 7 different layers of paint underneath the top coat. And they went in and spent, I think, weeks taping that off and painting all of these rooms in the elementary school. And it was just something I'd never heard of someone doing he said, this is the school I went to and I wanted it to look better and to be better for the scouts and for the kids who use the school. So it was just great to see that he wanted to give back to the school that he loved and that they spent so much time repainting all of these elementary school rooms.
That's a pretty unique thing. There are obviously some resources that we're going to post in the show comments to help guide you and find things that will help you and your Eagle Scouts have some great projects. Tom and Logan, thanks for joining me on the podcast. Stay tuned, everybody. We have more Around the Campfire coming up next.
Join us at the annual Eagle Recognition Dinner celebrating the Eagle Scout Class of 2023. The event will be held on June 10th at Lake Pearl in Renta. Join us as we celebrate four new outstanding Eagle Scout Award recipients, the 2023 Eagle Project of the Year winner, as well as the entire Eagle Scout Class of 2023. Friends, family, and most importantly, sponsors are all encouraged to attend this popular event. Visit mayflowerbsa.org/2023Eagle.
So I'm here with Aaron Christian from the Membership and Unit Service team. And, you know, we wear many hats in addition to our role on the team. And Aaron is the Order of the Arrow staff advisor for the Tenebris Lodge. And Aaron, I understand you have some important information that we need to give to our BSA troops about elections for Order of the Arrow.
Yes, Rob, you are correct. And actually, this doesn't just go for Scouts BSA troops anymore. It also includes venturing crews and Sea Scout ships. Starting on February 12th, so last month, we opened the window for Order of the Arrow unit elections. And that process has changed a little bit from the way we've done it in years past. Every single unit leader for those unit types I mentioned and their committee chair is going to receive an email invitation from the Lodge Master system that allows them to book an election. Now, our election season is going to run till May 31st this year, but we are offering still elections at Camp Squano. So if your unit traditionally does that, feel free to do that at summer camp as well. But we would really like, if you usually do it outside that window, that you do those elections before summer camp. Just like the Mayflower Council stopped accepting paper applications for everything, we have done the same for our unit elections, hence the online link option. So online unit election requests will be accepted only, no paper applications. You must upload eligible candidates before the election takes place, or else we won't have anybody for you to ballot on. And lastly, if there's any member of the OA out there that is a youth and would like to help out with the unit election process, there is a form that you can fill out that are available on our website through our roundtable slides that you should be able to get and say, hey, I want to help run elections. And if you have questions about any of this process, and even if you want to get that form from somebody else, you can contact inductions at tantamus.org, and there you'll be able to get all the information and wonderful stuff you need for OA unit elections.
Brian Piazza, the camp director, welcome to Around the Campfire.
Good morning, Rob, and I really appreciate you having me on this podcast. You've been doing a phenomenal job, and really look forward to adding to the ammunition here.
I know you just had camp kickoff a few weeks ago. I wonder if you can give some of the highlights to our listeners, and let's start with Cub Scout Day Camp.
We are offering wonderful programs at two of our out of our three properties, and we can start at Adventure Day Camp located at Camp Resolute in Bolton, Mass. This 325-acre surrounded by 18 acres of waterfront property at Little Pond Road. This property offers the perfect location right off of 495 for second and fifth graders to explore five-week programs, Monday through Friday, 9 to 4. This is a day camp with amenities such as swimming, boating, outdoor skills, sports, arts and crafts, BB and archery, and weekly themes such as costume day for entertainment, as well as spirit day with funny hair, crazy hats, and throwback Thursday.
Had me a crazy hair, Ryan. You really did.
I think it's important to understand that we really want to provide that entertainment and really get you the biggest bang for your buck. We want the kids to have the best time possible and really creating authentic and creative opportunities. We've just gotten feedback, Rob, that has been more than successful, especially coming out of the 2023 camp season.
And I know Cub Scout Day Camp at Resolute last year was the inaugural year where we really kind of put a lot of attention in and more using Resolute as that base for that property. I have to tell you, there's always a place deep down inside of my scouting experience. I went to Camp Squano every summer. It's a property that when I walk on there, you feel like you're home. And I know you've got some exciting things planned. I know you've been working with Mark and trying to get everything ready for this coming year. What's new at Camp Squano for our Scouts BSA units this year?
Camp Squano, located down in Plymouth, 650 acres. So we offer two exciting multiple opportunities there. We can start first with the Adventure Overnight Camp. So if day camp is not your thing and you want to come experience an introduction into BSA resident camp, fourth through fifth graders can receive a full-scale introduction to camping experiences from home, away from home. Sunday, this is a Sunday through Wednesday opportunity, and it offers daytime adventures and overnight stories around campfires and under the stars. Activities such as hiking through the woods, fishing and boating. We provide tents and three meals a day, And parents and volunteers are more than welcome to join their kids.
It seems like the food is a lot better now than it was when I was a scout. It looks like you've got some really good culinary skills going on down at Squanto too, right?
It's important to note that, you know, kids coming out of school, they do not want school lunch. So we really team up with a local vendor to be able to provide the three meals a day, focusing on healthy options, as well as, you know, creative opportunities for kids to really, after they've had a long day in the sun, to really kind of enjoy that.
You know what I want to cover while we're together today is I know for our scouts and even for like some of our Weeblo scouts that are looking for an overnight experience, those are awesome programs. But over the past year or two, there have been programs down at Squanto for older scouts that have a little bit more appeal to them. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So Adventure Overnight Camp, fourth and fifth graders will now turn to the BSA Resident Camp, which is 6th through 12th graders, offering 5-week program Sunday through Saturday, where we launch a full merit badge schedule with activities and programs that consist of life skills, which can be found on a 16-page class catalog on our website. For 16 and older scouts, you most certainly can sign up for our popular ACE program, which is Advanced Camper Experience, where programs will consist of morning expeditions off property, such as whale watching, indoor rock climbing, and canoeing expeditions. And in afternoon, they can come back to camp and focus on experiential education with copes and climbing course, as well as programs such as woodworking, plumbing, farming mechanics, and automotive maintenance. We not only want to give you a fun time in the woods, but we want to really teach you the necessary skills for you to be successful out of the woods. And so these are great, unique programs to get them, you know, those hands-on opportunities that they might be exploring, you know, later in life.
So, Ryan, I understand that we now have a dedicated website for our Mayflower camps. Can you tell us a little bit about that and some things that our listeners may want to know so that they can get their scout, whether it's a Cub Scout or a venturer, enrolled in summer camp?
Absolutely. So if you actually go to the webpage and you type in Mayflower, B as in boy, S as in Sam, A as in apple, .camp. So MayflowerBSA.camp. It will provide you, it will take you to our launch page where there is 6 options for 2024 summer camp opportunities. And it's a great platform for you to be able to see what we are offering, as well as, you know, potentially say if you wanted to do a couple weeks at day camp up at Resolute, and then you could shift down to potentially coming down to Camp Squanto and doing the overnight or the BSA resident camp.
And it's not too late to get your scout or your unit enrolled for summer camp. So again, that website is MayflowerBSA.camp. So as we get to the end of our time together on today's episode, I wanted to let you know that the Membershipping Unit Service Team recently finished a series of in-person and virtual kickoff events where we introduced our brand new recruitment initiatives for 2024. If you missed it, I encourage you to review the recorded kickoff, which can be found at mayflowerbsa.org/membership under the Unit Success Workshops tab or in the show notes of today's episode. Also, we are running a patch design contest for our very own Mayflower recruiter patch that your scouts will be able to earn later this year. We're looking for 2 different designs, one for Cub Scouts and one for Scouts BSA and Venturing. The deadline is April 30th of this year, and there are some pretty cool prizes for the winning designers. Information, once again, is in the kickoff recording. And last but certainly not least, thank you. I received some really nice emails about the podcast and some ideas for some future topics. Feel free to share your thoughts about the podcast or your suggestions for topics with me by emailing podcast@mayflowerbsa.org. I'm Rob DeFazio. We'll see you next time right here around the campfire.